Ugh, spam calls. Sound familiar? Introducing Line 2. Get a second phone number right on your existing phone. Imagine discounts, appointments, online forms. Handle it all without giving out your personal number. It's like having a secret weapon against spam. And when those unwanted calls sneak through, boom, blocked. No more interruptions, no more stress. Stay connected, stay protected. Keep your main number safe and out of harm's way. Ready to take back your phone? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.
And I believe to sell is to serve. And all sales is solving problems. Is like, you got to find the problem in the market and then solve the problem in the market, and then people will come your way. Like, that's totally true. And if you do it with direct communication, it's faster, and pound for pound, you can get higher ticket. That's why people say, how do you close high ticket deals? Get on the phone with somebody.
Finally, after 5 years of product failures, my 35th offer actually worked. And my next 55 products generated over $11 million in sales in just 4 years. But after seeing the flaws in my business, I decided to shut it all down and restart from scratch, as us entrepreneurs do. Follow me and the other capless pig-loving entrepreneurs as I continue my journey towards $100 million in sales. I'm your host, Steve J. Larson, and welcome to Season 2 of Sales Funnel Radio. Welcome to another episode of Sales Funnel Radio. I'm very excited to have on an incredible guest here today, who I met years ago. I'm shocked. It was probably like 7 or 8 years ago. I mean, it's been a while now. It's been super fun. Been very inspiring for me. Someone definitely inspired me for my own journey and just going after it. And I don't know if I've told you that. I probably should have. but I'm a huge fan and very, very grateful that he's here. Welcome to the show, Sean Malone.
Thank you, Steve, so much. The feeling is totally mutual, man. Like, I remember the first time I ever met you, dude. We went to the Fat event that Russell put on. And I remember walking into the room and I was like totally intimidated because I'm the little guy and all these other dudes in the room are doing like millions and millions of dollars. And then you walk out on stage and I was like, oh, who's this guy, right? And you started telling a story about how you were in the army and you're reading the book and the .com book and you're like, you just started doing everything. And then that whole story about how you actually like planned out the whole thing before you even got the membership. And I like that moment changed my life. And at that time I was like, Steve Larson is some dude that I like have the most utmost respect. I started fanboying you actually for a little bit. Right. And then I was like, yo, I got to meet this guy. And that was kind of my first memory of you. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. I yelled a lot more back then. I apologize to everyone's eardrums involved there. Oh man, no, I'm excited to have you on here. And for everyone who's watching, listen now, like I am just crazy honored that Sean's actually going to be speaking at the Offer Launch event. You should go get your ticket, offerlaunch.com, subtle and brazen plug right there. But I wanted to bring him on and tell you why. There's a really powerful thing that you and Chris Baden have co-created together and that has just been mind-blowing. And I don't want to take the wind out of the sail with it and all that, but could you just tell people a little bit about like what you do, what you've created? Because I'm nervous to say it for you. Because when I ask what your backstory is, there's so many angles of your backstory, whether it's like a professional golfer to a frisbee golf tour. I guess a lot of golf stuff, but then like electronics store person and then top salesperson here, top sales. You've lived your life in sales and it all, I feel like, has culminated to this thing you do now. That's very, very nebulous what I just said there. Do you mind telling everyone kind of what you do and where it kind of came from?
How far do you want me to go back? To the beginning or like halfway?
Day one, you're born.
Day one. No, not when I'm born. No, so like there I was in the womb. No, I'm just kidding. I'll start like after college. So like I came out of college, played sports in college. I had a full ride for baseball and I came out of college and I only had one question on my mind. And that was like, how do I make a boatload of money? That was the one question I had in my mind is like most young kids, 20, 21 year olds coming out of college were like that way. And so I went to the only person that had made a bunch of money in their life was my dad. I was like, Dad, how do I make a lot of money? How do I make a boatload of cash? And he goes, well, he had a little import export cookware business. Have you heard the story? I don't even know if you
know.
Okay,
no, I haven't.
So I was like, doing pretty good in their import export cookware. And I was like, how do I make a boatload of money? And he said, well, Sean, you have three choices. And I was like, yes, multiple choice. I'm going to win. And he goes, choice number one, are you a CEO? And I'm 21 years old. And I look at him completely dumbfounded. I'm like, I don't even know what those letters mean. Like, I'm sorry. No, that's not me. I don't even know what a CEO is. Right. He's like, okay, no problem. Are you an entertainer? And I thought to myself, I'm like, well, I can't sing, I can't dance. So Dad, no, I'm not an entertainer either. And then he goes, well, you better go learn sales. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. So I looked around and I took this job selling commodities. So like aluminum extrusions, think about like the old school windows that went in houses, the metal that went around the edges, like those extrusions. So I would find the foundry and then I would sell the raw metal to the person that would form the windows. Like that was where I was. It's like the kind of the top echelon in sales. And I didn't know what sales were at the time. Like I was just like, I'm getting a job in sales. And so I found this job and I went in and I sucked. And I sucked so bad. Here's what I mean, right? So everybody listening to this can totally relate to me if you've ever tried sales. It's one of those things where I made, so I was handed this book, this manufacturer's book of all these numbers, all these companies. And they were like, you just got to go make these calls and go meet these people and do these things. And all my friends telling me like, you got the gift of gab, just go talk to people. And that was trained because I actually was an introvert before then, right? So it was like, I learned to just be a team leader, sports guy, like captain of the team. And so anyway, I picked up the phone and I started making 80 cold calls a day. And I did this for every day for 6 weeks. Okay.
Whoa.
I made 2,400 attempts at booking an appointment on the phone from a cold call. How many appointments do you think I booked, Steve?
For the sake of the story, one?
Zero.
Oh, really? Wow.
Struck out,
oh,
dude.
Man.
That was like, I was, you know, like how bad that feels. So if you've ever out there and you try to make a few sales calls, like try 2,400 and not even booking an appointment. Like that's where I was, right? Like I was really, really bad. And at the time I was about to throw the white flag in. And I was like, Dad, the sales thing sucks. It's not for me. I want out. Like, what the hell? And he said, don't quit. Go to the library and read a book. I was like, fantastic. So there you go. I go to the library. I went to the sales section. I was like, I just saw the first one that came to my mind. It was like Tom Hopkins, How to Master the Art of Selling Stuff.
In fact, I have the book right here.
This is the original book that I bought. Look how old school that is, dude.
What? That's awesome. That's awesome.
So I got this book from Tom Hopkins and I read through it and I was like, oh my God, there's a formula to sales. And I'd always been pretty good at formulas in school. And so I was like, well, maybe I can just apply one of these formulas into my sales thing and it'll work. So I got renewed energy, renewed faith, and, you know, big note for hiring a coach, reading a book, getting a mentor, doing that kind of thing, like very powerful thing to do. If you haven't done that yet, hire Steve. That's what I'll say. So I had this little message I read out of the book and I'm like, I'm going to use this on my next sales call. So I get back on Monday morning, I go into the office, I pick up my phone. I was all excited. I started dialing and I messed up the first one. So that one didn't work. The second call I picked up, I started dialing and I got to the point where I was going to deliver this little line to book the call. And the hair stands up on the back of my neck. The sweat beads start coming down my face and I'm like, start shaking. And I'm like, blah, 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 and totally butchered the line. But the guy on the other end was cool enough. And he's like, Sean, just come on over. I know what you're trying to do. And I was like, yes, I booked an appointment. And I'm trying to keep my, you know, like composure. Don't do that. And I hang up the phone. I started bouncing around my office and my boss came around. His name was Tim at the time. And he goes, did you just close a deal? And he was all excited. And I was like, no, I just booked an appointment. And he's like, oh, get out of here. You know, like, 'cause it's been 6 weeks, no appointment. Right. And so yeah, God rest his soul. God bless his soul. He's still alive, obviously. But, and then I started doing that more and more. And I was able to start like getting into booking appointments. And then I would get in these sales conversations and I was like, blank. I didn't even know what to do, what to say, how to like close a deal. And at that point, I was like, wait a minute. Well, maybe if there's a formula for setting an appointment, maybe there's one for selling. And so I read more books and I hired another coach and I went through some other stuff. And I was like, oh, there's all these different selling systems. And so that moment of when I booked that first appointment completely changed or shifted the direction of my life. And this is how I got into sales, because it was like that moment in time. It was, I am dedicating my life to becoming a master communicator through the vocation of sales and the lost art of prospecting. That was what I chose when I was 21, right? So communication through the you know, high ticket sales, typically high ticket sales, and the lost art of prospecting was the thing. And so then I started geeking out and, you know, like you geek out, I geek out, right? We both geek out together. I started learning all these different selling systems. I spent fortunes of cash, like almost $500,000 of my own money that I didn't even have at the time, to like learn all the different selling systems. I dissected 40 of them and I distilled it down to like these 5-7 steps. If they're in every sales call, they'll close deals. And to prove it to myself, I went out as a manufacturer's rep and I started closing deals like a boss. Now I'm 22, 23, 24 years old. And I started making crazy amounts of commission because I was selling so much using this new selling stuff that I had kind of like learned and then shifted into my voice.
Wow.
And at that time I was like, man, I want more. I want my own company. I ended up buying my own electronics company in Vegas. That's when I moved to Vegas, like early 2003. And I came out here and it was a little company. There's seven people in there with a partner. I had 47% ownership. I ended up putting my systems in there. And I grew that one from $250K to $8.5 million in 4 years, right? Just from my own personal sales hustle. Like, that's what I was doing.
Wow.
And then my business partner sold it out from behind my back in 2 weeks without telling me. And I lost millions of dollars. And it sucked a lot. Like, oh, and it put me into the biggest tailspin that I'd ever been into my point in my life. And I started drinking a lot in Vegas. Like, it's a pretty easy thing to do. And that led me to the Stoney's Rock and Country bar where I met Melissa, my wife. And she saw me and we met at the bar and we went out and danced. And I was like, you're the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. And of course, it's like this lightning bolt of shining ray light just comes. I was like, ah. And so from there, she's like, you got to knock this drinking stuff off and go do something with your life. So I was like, okay, cool. What should I do? And she's like, you're good at sales. You should go sell some stuff. Then I took a job selling roofing material and I broke every sales record they'd ever had in the first like 3 years. And then I realized, oh my God, I hate roofing people. With respect to the industry, like just roofing people are not my people. So I ended up quitting that. And then that led us into going online because I thought to myself, man, I want to spend more time with Melissa. She's running a dentist office. I'm out on the road selling. Like, how can I do this thing online? And that's where we found a network marketing. Actually, we saw a Facebook ad and it was this little dude walking across the beach with no shirt on. He's like, I just made all this money online. I'm like, of course, that's what I want to do. So I bought that, you know, that back in the day, the ads or whatever, right? Yeah, we go down the rabbit hole with the guy and he ends up upselling me. It was a $99 thing. And then he upsold me to $10,500. I didn't even know what I was doing. I ended up just buying the thing. And I was like, well, I don't know marketing. And if this is what marketing is, I'll learn it. But if I do no sales and if this little marketing thing can bring eyeballs, I'll convert them. I know I will, right? And so that led to just an explosion of results. This is how I met my business partner, Chris. Like, I actually sold him. It was water ionization systems from a company out of Japan, right? Called Enagic. Wow. Melissa and I and Chris ended up breaking all their sales records. We got on the cover of their magazine and doing all this other stuff. And at the end of it, we had the sales team of about 35 people. And we had this little marketing system that I found from this little 19-year-old kid, and it was working and it was just crushing and crushing and crushing and crushing and crushing. And this led me into, oh, funnels. Oh my God, Russell Brunson is the name. And then obviously you fast forward to meeting Steve. And I realized at the time, I was like, man, we need these funnels. We need this stuff. But then the business burned me out. We had about not anywhere near super status online, but we had about 500,000 people following us around. And we had this little, the system. And they said, Sean, Melissa, Chris, you need a software because your software sucks. Or the software that we were using sucks. And I was like, well, it's not our software. It's this other little kid. And they're like, we don't care. Build a new one. And so that led us to building our first software product, which was Digital Genius Lab. And so that software, what it did is it taught paid ads to cold traffic, which is like the worst thing you can do to start. It had done for you funnels. It had emails. And then I had my sales team of 35 people behind it. So all the affiliate had to do was drive traffic to the front end landing page. And then the system that we built would take care of the rest. And so now I'm a software business owner and I'm this little micro influencer is what I'd call it. And over the course, this is right where I started, where I met you, Steve, and going down through the fat event and doing that kind of thing. I completely burned out. Completely, dude, because I was working like 20 plus hours a day doing software, doing like network marketing stuff. And I almost killed myself. I was actually coming to a different Russell Brunson event and I saw a tree and I almost plowed into the tree just to say, you know what? I just can't deal with this anymore. And it took a lot of gusto and cojones to get in front of that group at the Inner Circle in Russell's war room and share my journey. And at that point, you know, like I had everyone cheering and then crying and then cheering and it was like, yeah, launch and then not. And then like, how do we do this? And like, it was hectic. And so then at the end, Russell goes, you need to kill your baby. And so that led us to saying like, oh my God, I've never killed a baby before. This business is printing cash. We did $1 million in our first 10 months. That's why we got the award. On the back end, we did over 10 million. It was like $12 million in sales. But he said, kill the baby. So of course, being coachable, we said, okay, great. We ended up selling the company. It took us about a year. We got it sold. And then we're like, what do we do? And Russell and Alex Sharfin said, what are you good at? And we said, sales. And he said, all these entrepreneurs suck at sales. You should go help them. We're like, okay, yes, that's something we can do. We ended up interviewing about 40 people that we would love to work with. Five of them said, Sean, we're not putting the phone down until we have a deal put together. And so that was the birth of our high ticket agency, Whoa. Right? That's what happened. Whoa. Wow. And so then we ended up building sales teams for all these businesses, and it fixed their revenue problem for like 4 months. And then came back to us and they're like, Sean, Chris, thank you so much for the sales team. But now I don't have a way, I can't sleep at night because I don't have a way every day to feed the sales team new opportunities, new leads, new chances to close deals. And I don't know what to do. And I think I'm going to have to let go of the sales team you built me. And we're like, no, don't do that. Here's the system. And at the time, it was a piece of paper and a spreadsheet. And so we put it in these businesses and every one of our high ticket agency clients just went boom, 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 started hitting it out of the park, hitting bigger numbers than you could ever imagine. We took a company, we took a real estate coaching business from 400K a month in recurring to $250,000 additional per month in revenue. We did it in 4 months for them with this system. Oh. Yeah. So we started seeing huge growth with lots of companies. And Chris and I looked at each other and like, dude, we don't need to do the agency. We need to teach this in a mastermind. And that was the birth of our mastermind. 25K mastermind for a year, 3 months intensive. Here's this prospecting system you need to put in your business. 9 months behind that of high ticket sales coaching, which we showed everybody how to actually close the opportunities that continue to come their way from the system. 82% of the businesses that went through that mastermind have continued to have the biggest success they've ever had.
Oh my gosh.
Huge numbers, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because most online businesses like, and this is what was really eating at my heart back when I had the network marketing business. If you've ever been in that space, I know you have, but like 3 to 5% get success.
Right? Yeah. Yeah.
That number ate at my heart so bad. That was one of the reasons why it burned me out. So now here we are doing 80 some plus percent. I was like, oh, this is great. And then, so then it was like, they all came back to us after a little while and they're like, Sean, this is such an archaic system. And we're like, oh man, maybe we should build a software. And right at that time, our messaging through the DMs, because we love to sell through the DMs, ran into our now CTO, Bruno. Bruno said, hey, I've got this tech. And we're like, well, let's see it. So we looked at the tech and you have to be a programmer to run it. But it was kind of doing some of the same stuff that we were doing.
Hey, I hope you're enjoying the episode. Let me interrupt for just 1 minute here. One time I was speaking on the stage at this event, this guy picked up a microphone and he said, Steve, when do Facebook ads begin paying off? And I remember looking confused and just asking back, like, what do you mean? He repeated the question and said, well, we've been spending a lot of money on Facebook ads for a long time now, and we're just wondering when this begins to all pay off, when we actually start making money from the ad. I said, wait, Facebook ads are not an investment. They don't pay off someday. This is direct response marketing. So if we don't get a payoff within the first few days, we turn off the ads. How much money have you spent? I will never forget the look at this guy's face as he realized he had the completely wrong mindset about ads. And he said, we've spent over $250,000 without any return on ads at all. My stomach fell out of my body. Look, this is direct response marketing, meaning we measure the direct response of our marketing. That's why ads are the holy grail of marketing. They're not an investment that pays off someday, sorry colleges, because every dollar spent on ads should return with another dollar very soon. That's what my good friend John Parks and I are doing, the Chief Ads Officer Workshop on May 15th through the 17th. John has spent over $150 million in Facebook ads profitably and manages the ads accounts for some of the biggest names out there. John is going to take 50 business owners through his unique Facebook ads process while you follow along. At the end, you're going to have your own account running. I simply asked John to show us what's working best today in the ads world right now. John told me that one of the hardest parts of running ads today is finding the right person to do it. Traditional org charts don't really have a spot for the ad buyer, so this workshop will help you install a new role, whether in-house or if you go hire, the new role of Chief Ads Officer inside your business. This workshop is both for those who want to learn ads themselves or for those who want to learn to communicate with their media buyer better. The workshop is only happening one time in person in my event studio in Boise, Idaho, May 15th through the 17th, and all the details are at chiefadsofficer.com. Go to chiefadsofficer.com right now to save your seat and get more details. We can't wait to see you there. Let's get back to the episode.
And we're like, whoa, like we should partner because you have no clients and you don't know how to sell. We know how to sell, but we don't have the tech. Like this is a perfect marriage. The birth of FlowChat about 2 years ago.
That's so cool.
That's the full history. And then from there, we actually shut down the mastermind, the agency shut down, and we just went full bore into the software because hundreds and hundreds of people just start using it and crushing with it. And it's continued to morph and grow and do things that just keep me excited on the day-to-day. So yeah, that's where I'm at.
This is what my notes look like from that story, full page. And it's just all these, it's all these arrows driving down. And then I'm on the one side, I wrote, Sean Malone is the most interesting man. Oh, dude, what a cool, what an amazing journey to get to that spot. I think I knew maybe 30% of that. I didn't realize all those other back pieces with it. You know, it's interesting that I feel like after I stopped doing so much funnel building and diving truly more into just teaching people how to market, it became very apparent that I believe that marketing is really only measured in lead gen. And that's not to say that there's no advantage to putting out a video that gets a lot of likes, you know, but truly, sometimes that's just the awareness. What we really care about is leads. And people think about a sales funnel as if it's a marketing funnel, and it's not. A sales funnel's only role is to close. And I only bring that up because thinking about what the role of Flowchat is and kicking up leads and doing what you guys have done, I mean, I don't know a way around. I'm a customer, right? And I don't know a way around using the DMs now because of all the locks and all the, you know, what was it, like 2 weeks ago, I feel like reach plummeted again. Thank you, Zucker Sucker, right? With all the crap that's going on with reach again. Like, yeah. Man, I can't even reach the people who are trying to follow this stuff and help them that way. It's DMs have become a cornerstone for it. So I want to ask a question on that backdrop, that how do you feel businesses can be utilizing DMs, regardless of platform, to actually have a stronger launch? Because I don't think it's a modality most think of.
Yeah, well, direct communication is every form of marketing there ever is. Right. And what's the highest form of direct communication? It's one-to-one, belly-to-belly, across the table, whatever you want to call it. DMs is another environment. The way I think about it is, like, you can find anybody you want, the exact client you're looking for, and you can start communicating with them directly. You don't have to put the piece of content out there. You don't have to put the ad out in front of them in order to spark a conversation. All you got to do is have the right kind of hook or catchwords to get them interested in something that you solve, right, or serve. And then you just start chatting with them. And I believe to sell is to serve. And all sales is solving problems for a problem. You know, like, and that's what you teach, right? Is like, you got to find the problem in the market and then solve the problem in the market, and then people will come your way. Like, that's totally true. And if you do it with direct communication, it's faster, and pound for pound, you can get higher ticket. That's why people say, how do you close high ticket deals? Get on the phone with somebody. Oh, I don't want to sell. Well, then you should learn a system to sell, because if you knew a system, you probably wouldn't have a fear to get on the call with somebody. And so DMs are exactly the same. There's a structure. There's an infrastructure. There's words that you can say. There's five parts of the DM conversation that you have to have every single time. I'm happy to go through them with you if you want. Number one, get engagement. That's it. Number two, you have to transition from engagement into a business problem conversation. So get engagement, transition. Number three, you have to do an invite. And when I say an invite, don't drop a link. I'm saying ask a question. Hey, would you be up for jumping on a call? That's a great question, invite. And then when they say yes, now you do the call to action, which is step number four, which is, okay, great. Here's my link, book a time. That's the call to action. And then the last one is a clear future. If you have those five pieces in every DM conversation, you'll win 100% of the time. I've proved it in so many different businesses across industries, from B2G, B2C, B2B, all of it, right? If you're launching something and you're trying to get people into a launch, this is a perfect opportunity to get a ticket sold, or it's to get, you know, like, you know, free admission, or get in my Facebook group, or, you know, downloads on your podcast, or grow a YouTube channel, or whatever it is. Like, if you put those five pieces in the right infrastructure in the order, you can get anything to happen. And so that's on the front end, right? And the beauty of social media DMs is it's not cold, right? What I mean by that is, let's say you went to a Zoom Info or Seamless or D7 or whatever, and you can go in and you can type in a filter set, LinkedIn Sales Navigator, another example. And you say, I want this title, this business size, this, 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 and it pops you a list. Well, if you pick up the phone and start calling them people, that's cold. But if you put a piece of content out there about your new launch that you're doing, and somebody raises their hand by liking it or commenting on it, that person is almost an inbound lead, and that conversation is not cold. So now when you start DMing those people, they have a chance to go to that second layer and look at your profile. Is this person real? They're not a bot, are they? Like, nah, right? And then you can start those five pieces of the conversation and you can get the thing done, right? And it's even better after a launch too. Like, right? People register for the launch and you got all these people. And now guess what? money is in the follow-up. You've heard that 10 million times. I know you have, whoever's listening. And that's all it is. DMs are one of the fastest, easiest forms of follow-up on earth.
Powerful, man. So powerful. I remember it's probably about 5 years ago was the first time I heard people truly using consistent DMs. But there was no real tool around it. And the way that I saw people managing DMing a lot of people was very similar to how you'd see like a phone call center manage a pipeline, you know, and putting together like that flow. All right, here's the cold leads. I've reached out to these ones and like those different stages. And, you know, I was shocked, blown away as soon as I logged into Flowchat the first time when I was like, that's exactly what we've been needing. This is awesome that you made this. This is incredible. It facilitates it, you know, just all the way. Anyway, I don't have a question there. I was so psyched the first time I saw Flowchat. I'm like, this, I don't want to handle this inside of, I was using Google Sheets to do that, you know?
We did too. The piece of paper and the spreadsheet, that was an archaic system that we had. We actually had it, like ours was a little bit more advanced than most people because it was like you could click a link and it would drop you right to the sheet, and then you just copy the text, you open the thing and you hit paste and send, and then you mark the date on the spreadsheet moving across like in rows in columns, I guess I should say. And then we're like, well, why don't we just automate that in a software? And that's really where, and I think why Flowchat, there's a number of reasons why Flowchat is different than anything else that's out there. But one of the main driving factors of it is our what we call our pipeline view. And it allows you to never lose track of where a conversation is at any time. Right. And that's the beauty of it, right? Because a lot of people that get, you know, if you're a Steve Larson and you're getting millions of people that like and comment on your stuff, well, there's so much opportunity there. If you don't have a way to like manage that incoming stuff and then like sort them out, you're losing opportunity. You're missing millions of dollars on the table. And so, or if you're new, then it's like, great. You don't even need the inbound. You can, with Flowchat, one click, import like an entire Facebook group of people, like whatever you need to actually get the job done. And that's the beauty of it. Yeah.
You know, it's interesting you bring that up too, because I've been trying to help people realize that people put the cart before the horse when it comes to launching and lists. You know, they're like, I need a list in order to launch. And it's like, truly, you create the list during the launch. Yes. You know, that's where you're aggregating the people in the middle of the launch. You don't build a list beforehand. Of course, it's helpful if you have one, but the first time you never have one and you get a list from launching. But the way you teach it and going through what the material you guys have and just the stellar stuff that's in there, I think DMing is this powerful way you can pull together a list without having one. It's like the most ultimate shortcut and hack to the whole list question when it comes to launching. And I'm psyched. I'd love for you to speak a little bit more about that at the actual event, because that is like people, you know, they just don't get that it's at their fingertips. And think of social media likes, subscribes, you know, comments, Facebook group followers as the list, not necessarily an email list, but you still have access to them. I mean, it shortcuts all these pain points.
Yeah, I think you actually said it best once. If I remember, we're having another conversation. I don't quite remember how you said it, but you said, we've been talking about it and like we both agreed on this. It was like social media is not like one platform versus the other, or the other, or the other. But social media is the lead pool, like the entire big one bucket, right? And then all you need to do is identify. And that's what's so beautiful about what you do, what I do is because we can classify the exact people out of that lead pool that we want to find. And then with a little bit of, you know, thought process behind a search criteria, and then we can go find that pocket of those exact people, right? And then now you can immediately start engaging with those people, and you don't have to spend money in terms of like, I got to build creative, like ads is a thing, right? If you're good at ads, you know what it takes to be good at ads. If you've never done ads and you're listening to me for the first time right now hearing this, ads is like another language, right?
It is. That's why I never learned it.
Yeah. You got to go learn the language, or you got to hire an agency that knows the language, right? And if you hire the agency, you better know the language so you can watch what they're doing.
Yeah.
So
it handicaps you though. It puts handcuffs on it, and then, you know, just like those companies that were freaking out because they couldn't control lead flow, it's a scary business model to be in when you can't actually control lead flow well. And I love what you've done. I'm so psyched to have you speak.
I can't wait for the event, dude. I mean, I was honored to be. I actually went to one of your offerminds a number of years ago, dude. And
that
was by far one of the best, if not the best event I'd ever been to. The way that you put it on, the things that you did. Guys, if you haven't experienced a Steve Larsen event and you haven't bought your ticket, like, shame on you. You know what I'm saying? Like, get your ticket now. Like, click the link below this video and go do it, because Steve, you just continue to raise to another level every time I talk with you, dude. I'm just so grateful, honored.
No, I appreciate that, man. I'm really psyched to have you. Yeah, I want to end with just this one question here with this, that, you know, the internet marketing funnel space, I feel like, has a lot of superpowers, and they're amazing. But there's also, because you can create cash so quickly, there is a, especially in the short term, sometimes there's not enough emphasis on building a true business, building a true sales machine, you know, and instead relying on just the effects of good marketing, which you can get by for a long time on. But I definitely ran into a burnout phase personally because I didn't learn a sales system and instead just learned marketing systems. I didn't realize there was a huge difference. And so my question is, like, when you think back to, and you think about the stereotypical internet marketer and funnel builder, and we're off doing our tasks and we're doing our Facebook lives and we're doing, you know, we're all being marketers and making noise, which is great. And everyone should do that for sure. But what is it that you see all of us doing that you're like, I know they think they're doing the right thing, but I think it's actually hurting them more than helping them, but they just don't know that. Let's just support them. You know what I mean? And I mean this to everyone watching and listening as a learning environment. We're in a safe space here, but let's get a little bit back.
The tree of trust, right? The nest, the tree of trust. Yeah. Let me classify. I'm a sales brain guy. I'm over here, but there are marketing brain guys, which are over there, right? And so if you are a marketing brain guy and you've been coached by somebody to be in the marketing world, they always say, publish, 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 like add value, add value, add value. And I think, like, the big thing where people might miss the boat, and it's not necessarily might miss the boat, but like an overlooked opportunity is a better way of putting it, is they put so much emphasis and so much determination, time, energy, effort into creating the content that's really going to be valuable. And yeah, sure, that will bring you a handful of leads every now and again. But what if you could just take all the time and energy? Maybe if you're, they tell you publish every day or publish 10 times a day or whatever they tell you, right? Yeah. What if you did half that amount and you dedicated the other time, that half of the time, to just speaking with more people directly?
Yeah.
Like, what if? What would your business look like if instead of creating 7 days a week, you created 3 days a week and you spent those other 4 days a week actually talking to people that could buy your stuff? Guess what's going to happen? Probably going to close more deals.
Probably going to sell more. Yeah. Yeah. That makes total sense. Yeah. You look backwards and you just see, like, it's not a bad thing. And I'm not, you know, obviously I pushed the publish, publish, publish thing for a long time. And I still think it's the right move. If you're not talking in general, that's a wrong move, but
sure.
I don't think the internet marketing world knows how to treat the leads they get. Ironically, they're very good at getting leads, but they don't know when it is a lead. They don't know what qualifies a lead, and they don't know what to do with it afterwards if it's not going to a .com. And so they don't know how to chat with them. They don't know and it's just everything that you've done and all the systems just plug straight into that gap. And it's just very helpful for me. I'm very excited to have you. It's going to be great.
Yeah, I think the last thing I'll leave you with is this, is like the way that I look at DMs and everything in the world, right? Like, you guys have all been to an event. If you haven't been to an event, buy a ticket for this one right now. But if you've been to an event, you know that when you go in the main room, you've got like the stage presentations and the speakers, and that's where you're in listen only mode. You're taking notes. You should be. So that's kind of like social media, right? Well, where do the DMs happen? Well, DMs are exactly synonymous with going in the hallway and having a conversation. So if you've ever been to one of Steve's event, or you've been to like a Funnel Hacking Live, the real deals get done in the hallway. They don't get done while you're watching the presentations, right? Mm-hmm. And so DMs is the online hallway of the presentations, right? Like, that's the big thing. So it's just like, what would you say? Like, if you're questioning yourself on like, what do I say in the DMs? Think about what kind of a conversation you would have in the hallway at a convention. That's the same conversation you want to have. You just want to make it digital.
That's fascinating. As someone was saying, like, oh, there's spams in DM. And I was like, there's spams in email, but that doesn't mean you don't use it. That's a terrible argument for not using them. You know, I like to think DMs means direct marketing.
Yes. Yeah.
Straight to.
And I love the people that say, oh, it's just spam. It's a blah, blah. That's because everybody else is doing it wrong. So if you actually go in there and you do it right, you're going to stand out and you're going to win. Right? That's how it's new and different and rare, is when you actually do it right, instead of copying all these, oh, I got to blast 10 million people. You know, no, you don't. Right? So
Sean, you still are like one of the smartest salespeople I've ever met in my entire life. And I, you know, met a lot of salespeople. I'm very excited and honored to have you come speak. Those of you guys who need a ticket still, you need a ticket still. So go get one. And we're excited to have you speak, man. This will be awesome.
Yeah. Well, Steve, again, I just continue to watch you level up year after year after year. It has been 7-8 years since I met you. And I just, I'm so thrilled and honored to call you a really close buddy of mine and just be able to be part of the event and help to impact some people, right? Like, guys, if you're listening to this, you can do it, right? You can definitely click that button. You can definitely get to this event. I have so many goodies for you. Just come, right? And I'm sure like all the other speakers do too, but I know like, and Steve, of course, like he always over delivers. So buy your ticket now. And let's hug it out, right?
Yeah, hug it out. Awesome. Hey, thanks so much, Sean. And guys, go get your ticket at offerlaunch.com. It's October 26th to the 28th. 3 days. There's virtual options and in-person options. So whatever best fits you. We'll see you guys there. Thanks, Sean.
Bye for now.
Some matches are temporary, but your privacy shouldn't be. With Line 2, you get a second phone line just for dating. No need to share your personal number until you're ready. You can chat, text, and even block numbers, all while keeping things fun and private. It's perfect for online dating, blind dates, or just keeping things light. When you're ready to move on, Line 2 lets you cut ties without any drama. Dating should be fun and carefree. Line 2 keeps it that way. Ready to date on your terms? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.